Right on, right on. Let's pray. My Lord and my God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for what you are already doing in the hearts, in the lives of the people of your church. And so, Lord, there's a lot of insecurity right now in our culture. There's a lot of questions that are in our minds. And for a lot of people, there's a lot of fear. And so, Lord, my prayer is that we remember how great your faithfulness is. Lord, I know that with all the struggles, that it's an opportunity, it's a check. It's a check of our perspective. It's a check in our faith. And so, Lord, help us to cling to you, ultimately, not just in times like this, but in good times as well. And Lord, and so right now we pray with all that's going on, it's beyond our home and beyond our city and state and country. It spreads to the entire world, and it seems like a strange prayer to pray for everybody. But amazingly, Lord, you are the one with everybody in the palm of your hand. So, Lord, I pray that all that is happening, that you help see us through. And I know you'll do that. But I pray that you would ease fears, that you would draw people to yourself, that even with all that's going on, that you would help it to just shrink rather than grow. And I pray that you use this. Well, I'll do it this way. I'll thank you, knowing full well that you will use this in people's lives to draw them to yourself, to draw them to your church, to draw them closer in relationship. And so, Lord, this is my prayer. And I do pray for those that are most vulnerable within our church and well beyond it. And help us to go about our lives not in fear, with faith and with wisdom. Thank you so much, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, have a seat, have a seat. And welcome. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad for those of you that are online. You know, we've taken measures. Wisdom prevails. And so we took some steps in order to just be wise and also be in partnership. I've been in communication with not only the directors who are part of our church and people, other people in, as part of our church, but other pastors. And, you know, we've been paying attention when it comes to local officials and state officials and well beyond that. And so we are going to continue to let you know, the people of our church, let you know the steps that are being taken and all that's going on with all that. And so one of the things I want you to know is that we are already looking at an opportunity to serve, because, you know, you can go back in history and look and see times when everybody else went running, the church went in, you know. And so there's opportunities that we're working on to help out and serve our community. And so we're going to be in touch with that. And I know this is something that a lot of you are like, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's, we all, every single Sunday we leave here and the very last words are, we gather as the church, now let's go be the church. And so this is one very real way that we can be the church. All right, so we are in a series. And I think this series fits into all that we're going through, all that we're talking about. And I'm not going to talk so much about the coronavirus today. We've been hearing a lot about it. We'll update you beyond what's going on here. But this is the series that we've been in. So the series before it, we were looking at how, for so many people, we would say things like, you know, everything happens for a reason. We would say that, but then a lot of us would, down deep, really kind of wonder why. Why, God, did you allow this? Why, God, didn't you stop this? And so the previous series, we looked at how God works in ways, even when we don't see him working in that way. When we know how he works, we can better trust how he works, even when we don't see him working. And so this series is putting skin on that. All right, so we've been having conversation with people up here who are part of our church, and we've seen how God has worked directly, specifically, and uniquely in their lives. Week one, we had my wife Jason and then Rick. They were up here, and we had a conversation about our mission trip to Mexico that was astonishing, and we wanted to go well beyond, you know, we were more blessed than the people that we served. We went well beyond that, and you know, we got specific about some things that were unique to the trip, and really God did some awesome stuff and continues to do, because that's going to be available as we move forward. And then last week, we heard from Lainey, and really over the last year and a half, what God's done in her has been obvious. It's been cool. And if you missed it, you really got to check it out online. There's an aspect of her story that I have never, ever heard in any other story. Whether it's a story about the church, about faith, about anybody, it's a unique thing. But God so clearly worked, especially after the last year and a half. And so really what's going to be happening today is going to fit right in line with what we've been talking about. So, you know, for me, as I think about my life, I've seen how God has so specifically worked in my life before I became a Christ follower. And then when I became a Christ follower, March 1st, 1998, I was 27 years old, and it came out of the blue for not only me, but everybody that knew me. And so I became a Christ follower, and I see how he so clearly worked there to my involvement within the church, everything from making the church part of my life, you know, when it came to taking those nervous steps into serving, those nervous steps into giving, and the nervous steps into forgiving, and to just being part of the community and playing my role. You know, but I saw him work all throughout that, well beyond that, to the first church that I worked at, the second, and then when we started the Story Church in our living room, we saw it very clear as whale. Did I say whale? I said whale. That's a funny way to say it. All right, and so one of the things that we see is that the more that we trust God, the more that we develop this track record. In fact, we're going to say it like this. Let's take a look. All right, the more I trust and follow the Lord, the more I develop a track record with him. Right? It's just the way it works. And the more I see how the Lord has been faithful in my past, the more I can trust him with my present circumstances. So we want that track record with God. In fact, you may hear of some people journaling. I'm not going to journal. I'm not a, what is that, a diary? That's not what I do. I would say that it's a good thing to do. I'm not writing, even if you just put a few lines every few days just to kind of capture what's going on. You'll be surprised at what it does. But one thing you can do is look back at things that maybe you were going through before, and you can see how God's been faithful. And that just kind of helps us record, in a sense, that track record with God. So today's story, we're going to see how God has just weaved in a person's life and worked in very unique ways. And so we've not been telling really anybody who we're going to be having up here. And so today, we're going to have my man Lester come up. So Lester, come on, let's go. Smattering of applause. Everybody always gets applause. I've never gotten applause my whole life with this church. Y'all crack me up. All right, so here you go. All right, and so Lester and I have been talking quite a bit for quite a while. I mean, there's just, you know, his story has been an encouragement to me, and I see some of my story in his story, and I think you're going to do the same. So for all of us, think about, you know, it's going to be interesting to hear his perspective and his story and kind of the things that are going on, that have gone on in his life. But for you and me, let's be thinking about how that relates to you and me, because you're going to see it, and I'm going to see it, and I don't think it's going to be hard to find those ways. And so we've been talking, and I came up with some questions, and we talked through it, and so I actually wrote some questions down that we're going to go into. And so we're going to start with what life was like before the church. And so let's pick up, not like right before maybe you were invited to come hang out with the Story Church. Let's talk about where you were in your life then.
It's pretty easy to boil it down to one word, anger. I was a very angry person. Woke up angry, would sleep angry, and it was a weird cycle. Small things would set me off, and I just was upset about everything. My dad's side of the family was kind of falling apart after my grandfather passed away, and so I prayed to the Lord. I was like, make me the new glue to this family. Like, don't let this happen. And it didn't, like, he didn't answer my prayer at the time. And it was really before I knew how the Lord answers the prayers. And so it just kind of all fell apart, and I kind of just started running from God. I stopped going to the church, or stopped going to church as little as I did.
Yeah, and it might make a note, by the way, that's a pretty great beard. So that right there is pretty cool. You know, that, I can't do that. I can't do that. But so what we're going to be revisiting, because this is the start of not his story, but the start of what we're capturing today. So when he shows up, he's angry, but he also has a lot of questions, because it's all wrapped up with family stuff. It's all wrapped up with faith. And then he's even, you know, my favorite movie is It's a Wonderful Life, and there's a scene where he's in a bar and he's having a drink, and he's like, and it's an amazing and brilliant scene, and he's tearing up and he's saying, God, you know, basically saying, if you're there, you know, answer my prayer. And then next thing you know, he's getting punched by somebody, and he's like, and then he says, that's what I get for praying. And I think that's what a lot of people feel in their real life. It's almost like, I mean, I've said the words, I don't hear anything, I don't see anything happen. And so this is where he starts, all right? And this is where, I mean, that's, and so let's kind of, let's feel that. And you might be there right now. Why God? Where God? Here's my questions. Why aren't you answering? And maybe you're angry, you know? And so be thinking about that. You be thinking, I'll be thinking, whenever I say you, I'm also talking to myself. So be thinking about that, and I'll do the same. So that's where we pick up. So he's angry, has questions. He wants to kind of be the glue, and things still fall apart. All right. And so you were invited by a friend to come check out the story church. And so you're invited, and it's always a funny thing because when someone's invited, there's like, you know, what people are going to feel and think is often interesting or different. And so what were you thinking, like, in the moment?
Yeah, it was kind of like a slow down moment where everything just stopped, and I had a conversation with myself, and it went back and forth of, no, I don't want to go back to church. I mean, God's already let me down once. Why would I go back and be let down again? But then, like, as soon as time started again, I immediately said yes. And I was like, that didn't follow the whole conversation that I just had with myself. Looking back on it now, it's a definite sign of the Holy Spirit was like, hey, by the way, you're going to church now. He's still my best friend, the guy that brought me to the story.
Yeah, Ben. And so Ben invites you, and so you come along. But that's interesting because a lot of us have a fear of inviting, right? I mean, we are called to share our faith, and not in weird, you know, ways that, but just in the ways in natural everyday life, just as we build relationships with people. But we're even afraid, what he experienced, we're afraid of, because when we kind of just say, hey, come check out my church, we'll go out to eat afterwards or something, a lot of times we're worried about what they feel in that moment. And we're like, is that going to ruin the relationship? How are they going to view me? Are they going to view me as some sort of, people would say, Bible thumper or something that, you know, we would not want to associate ourselves with, that are often put on television? It's like, no, that's not us. That's not what we do. And so so it's good to kind of get a snapshot of what he was feeling in the moment. So he goes from, he stays, he's in the anger, invited, every reason to say no, but something in him just says yes. And part of that's the relationship, the friendship that he has. And that's the thing we have to remember, is that when we have a relationship with people, they're more likely to say yes if we have a good relationship. Because, like, if you're all right, then I think it might be all right, at least to check it out. All right, so he shows up, and we're going to go forward in his story because there's so much to capture. So over time, he starts to get involved. He gets involved with our students, you know, as a student. He starts to get involved even in beginning to serve. And a lot of these are, you know, initial steps for him that he was probably nervous to take. So he starts to get involved. And then after this, we go to camp. And so what was camp like for you?
It was a different experience. I've gone to Sky Ranch in Van, Texas before, but this going to Glorieta was actually taking me out of state, and really my first time being out of state for an extended period of time. I've, like, taken day trips, like, to Arizona to, like, pick up my cousin from, like, a band camp or something like that, short things. But I'd never stayed for, like, a week outside of Texas before. And, like, kind of being separated from my family at the same time. And so it was very different. And I'd going into the mountains, going off and expeditioning. Right. And it was like a whole new checklist of new experiences for me.
Yeah, and it was interesting because when we drove out there, you know, the adults that go along, they have as much fun as anybody, which is part of it. But besides that, we're always trying to be intentional to help people. You know, he was relatively new, so he was actually my co-pilot going out there. And so we're sitting like this, and the questions, you know, it's like, so have you ever been here before? Because it's in New Mexico, and he's talking about never really having been there. He's talking about how being in the woods the way we were going to camp overnight. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that was new to him. And so we're talking about that. And so, again, this is where we are in the story. It's like when we read the scriptures, easy to jump ahead if we know the end of the story. But this is where he is, and he doesn't know the end of the story when he's invited. He doesn't know when he's going to camp. But really, in fact, we're going to see really quickly, you're going to see a video of, it's one of the things that was happening at camp. the wobble, all right? And so I don't you might not be able to see that right there. Yeah, without the beard. Check him out. What? That's crazy. That's very crazy. That's funny. So, but camp turns out to be a really good thing. And then part of what happened when we were there is that you heard about service team. And so we go back the next year, but then talk about service team.
Yeah, so service team is just a program real quick that we do all the dishes for the camp. And so while we're there, we're able to eat meals and have fun, but we're mainly there to help do the dishes and help the camp run a little bit. But it was on the third day that we were there, we were just kind of hanging out in our Holcomb Chapel, and I have a realization during Preston Woods' service, and they're just teaching and stuff, and I realized that I haven't been, like, having a relationship with the Lord. I haven't been seeking Him. I've been seeking Sundays, because I've been, like Ray said, I was working on Sundays, whether it be running the slides or doing setup teardown for that Sunday morning. I was seeking the Sundays. I wasn't seeking the Lord and wanting to have a relationship with Him.
That's a pretty big realization, to realize that you're not following Him. Maybe you're going through the motions and all that. I mean, and that's the Lord kind of breaking through. And one of the reasons why the Lord's, I mean, I'm not going to speak for the Lord, but here He was invited, here He was showing up, starting to get involved, going to camp, hearing about service team, going back to camp, staying for service team. You know, and so He's making Himself available for things like this. And when we make ourselves available, we're more likely to, you know, experience the Lord actually working in our lives. And so the service team, it was a really good experience for you, and you did have that realization. Another thing that happened, there was a few things that happened. One was talk about the anger aspect, because we had got to jump back. Let's jump back to where we were to begin the story. He was angry. He had questions. And so what happened with that?
Yeah, so even once I started coming to church, I was still angry. But from that day forward, I didn't wake up angry. And I don't want to say that, like, I wasn't ever angry again. Like, I'm human. I still get angry sometimes. But it wasn't a problem. I would have a typical reaction to certain things that would cause most people to get angry. But it wasn't an issue for me to struggle with that anymore. And it's almost just like the Lord said, okay, great. You've realized something. Now let me help you. And He took that from me. And that was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. And He also gave me another gift of the ability to lead. All throughout high school, I'd been trying to get on our leadership team for our band, and every step of the way, I was just kind of blocked and said no. And so at this point, I've just kind of been discouraged and stopped pursuing that. And then all of a sudden, while serving in service team, I'm looked up to, and I'm asked for direction, and I'm asked for my thoughts on different things of how we should do this and how we should do that, and kind of got put into a student leadership position.
Right, so when we talk about life change, this is what we talk about. He went from angry to not angry. It did not happen overnight. It did not, as he said, did not mean that he was never angry anymore, but he experienced an actual change, and God had everything to do with it, and it was clear to him. It's one thing. It's a lot of people could, well, it was just happenstance, or you learned things, or you just kind of grew, or, you know, someone might say the same thing, but they attribute it to the lucky rabbit's foot or something like that. You know, but what he's experiencing, it's unique to him, and even though you may have experienced it, but that's what life change is. So if you're angry, you can go for not as angry. If you have hate in your heart, you can go to love. If you can say, I'm never going to forgive, to wanting to forgive, and so wherever you are, wherever I am, it's available. And then the thing about leadership, and that was what was interesting, so he could not, he did everything he could to lead, was not given the opportunity, could not break through. All of a sudden, the Lord breaks through for him, and then he's leading. And I even remember, you know, one of the things, we've had a number of people that have gone to service team now, including, you know, Clayton back there, but there have been others. And something, one of the things we kind of do behind the scenes is that we're following up with the camp, you know, because before they went, I had a conversation with the person, the guy, Kel, who was leading it at the time. And I talked to him about his friend Ben, but I talked also about Lester. And then whenever I follow up, I'm like, so what's going on? And, you know, the encouragement, how are you encouraging? And how are you being encouraged? What are some things I could help with and all that? He didn't know that's going on. But when we talked about Lester, it was standing out as a leader is what he was saying. His words were, Lester's a stud, man. And And it's the beard. It's all the beard. Don't shave. That's all I'm saying. Don't shave.
No, not anymore.
This kid is. But he went, and but he had the opportunity. But if you're like me, you've had the opportunities. But how often have you shrunk back? And have I shrunk back? You know, we know what that's like. And so it's attributed to the Lord that the Lord will put it on his heart. But there's also, as we grow in our faith, there's something. You maybe think of the word sanctification, a big word, but it basically means where we become more and more like Christ and more free of sin. And in that process, we have to be in agreement because God's going to provide opportunity, and we can't say no. And so he's saying yes more than he's saying no, and we're seeing some of what's going on. And so we're actually going to see a few pictures, and they're just going to kind of scroll through, but there are things with service team. You know, there's things with not only service team, but also leading service team. And so I think we'll pop up here. All right, well, something's happening with the computer back there. That happens, but they'll pop up. I mean, hopefully they'll be able to pop up, you know, as we're talking. But so he has this experience with service team. He goes as someone who is serving, but then later he goes back as a leader of service team. So let's talk about that. You're a leader of service team now.
Yeah, whenever I was there as a student, there were a lot of things that I were thinking that I was thinking about that could be different and that I wanted to be different. And so the obvious step for that to happen is for me to be in a position to where I can change that. And so I knew that I had to come back and lead that program and make it something that I figured it should be. And so when I was doing it as a student, it was really focused on the work. I feel like I was just blessed to have the opportunity to have the experience that I did with the Lord. But that experience wasn't cultivated by those who were leading the program or who were directing it and stuff. And so I worked with my boss and my two other co-leaders, and we really worked on having the focus be on our students' hearts and the relationship with the Lord, and then the work coming third. Because if you take care of the first two things, the third one's going to get done no matter what, whether it be later on, just it's going to get done. And so that was never our worry. So.
All right, and so his experience up there, he did so appreciate the vision that they cast for Glorietta and the desires, and then as it goes with so many things, you know, there are a lot of difficulties that happen. Even within the church, we see a lot of things that are difficult, and so, you know, Lester wanted to be part of the solution, and so this is one of the things he did. So they set the table there. They have leadership that sought to pour into them. At the same time, leadership they have, just like leadership here, have their difficulties. It's not always easy. They want to focus on relationships, and it's often hard to focus on, you know, all that type of stuff. Focus on people, because that's what ministry is about, people. And so Lester, you know, with every ministry, with every church, you're going to experience some frustrations, and that's just natural. And so as part of that, though, it could have been easy to be like, grumble, grumble, grumble. Grumble, grumble, grumble. That's funny to say. It's fun to say. If you're ever bored and you're just sitting and you're bored, just say grumble, grumble, grumble. You'll go from boredom to fun in just like a split second. And so, but he wanted to be part of the solution. And that's huge. You know, to be part of the solution rather than just, we don't want to be part of the problem. And so this is one of the things that he sought. And one of the things that I like about when we go to camp and what you do with service team is it's hard. I mean, parts of it are hard. It's not just, hey, camp is all fun, or even service team, but I don't know, maybe say something about that. It's good, though, that there's a hard aspect to it, and I don't have anything to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, the program itself is very tiresome. I mean, we're doing dishes for 2,800 max people, three meals a day, 6 days a week, and then have to turn around, and maybe we might have a 30-minute break between breakfast and lunch. And that's happened several times, and I always made sure that that was the time used for the morning devotional. And so making sure that they had their time with the Lord before anything else, because they're going to get the most rest out of the Lord. And having to do that for 3 weeks, whereas your friends might be back home playing video games, skateboarding, or doing whatever, that can be like kind of emotionally hard for a lot of our students, because they were wanting to be able to do the fun things that they thought they'd be able to do. But spending time with the Lord was more important, and they all appreciated that towards the end.
They did all appreciate that. So that's good. That's good that it's hard, but and it was hard. The role's hard, you know, because you're working with leadership, and then you're trying to serve, and you're trying to help them get the most out of it. And so, you know, that's big. And this had enough of an impact on you that you even had a career change in what you're thinking. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I remember the exact point that it kind of came to me. I was loading the dishes in what we call the massive dishwasher. It's like 20 feet long. We call it the Dragon. And I'm just sitting there loading a bunch of plates into it. And it just clicks that I need to be a pastor, that I need to be within the church's ministry, working for the Lord, being able to spread not just the gospel, but everything. The hard times, the life that we all live in this world full of sin and stuff. And I'd known for a while at this point that I wasn't supposed to be a mechanical engineer, but I was kind of searching for what to do. And then all of a sudden it just, the Lord's like, hey, by the way, if you haven't realized it yet, this is what I need you to do.
Well, and that comes from pursuing the Lord. I mean, in part, you're pursuing him. So he's opening our eyes up to things like this. And the thing that I remember Jason and I, that she and I talked about were, I don't remember what we were talking about, but how you had such a specific plan about your career. Like it was so detailed. It was like, okay, now engineering makes sense because it was boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden, interesting how the Lord does this. He can just kind of say, it was that Etch-a-Sketch. You draw it up and just shake it up and it's wiped out. He'll do that. But the thing is, a lot of times we just start wanting to draw it back. And so instead of just saying, all right, God, I guess you have something new. But being available to that is something that we're not always. Here's the thing. So, I mean, as when I became a believer years later, brought on staff and all these type of things, there's often people that will say, I want to be a pastor too. And then it's great, you know, and so there's encouragement. But one of the things you do is you sit back and you watch and you wait. Months, sometimes, years sometimes. Because most of the time, a lot of people are like, it passes and it fades. And so some of it's like, all right, very good. We'll continue to encourage. We'll continue to talk. And then we'll just kind of see what happens. What I look for, and not that, I mean, who am I? You know, I'm just seeking to be someone to encourage and to help along the way in his life. And so with him, though, one of the things that we saw, because I'm looking for indicators, and I saw some indicators, and one of them was when he was pouring into those students. That's his responsibility. That's his role. That's great. But he started to go beyond that, even following up after they were together during service team. So talk about that, because that was a big indicator for me.
Yeah, through Glorieta, part of their mission statement is authentic relationships. And I couldn't see myself working with so many students for 3 weeks to even some stayed the entire summer and saying hi and then turn right around and just saying goodbye, I'm not seeing you for the rest of my life. And so being able to pour back into them and continuing that was something that I had a drive to do because I wanted to be able to actually hold up my side of the deal. And so even now, probably, I'm not sure how many of them are watching this. We have a Discord group chat kind of thing going on and told them about this morning and how we'd be live streaming it. And so a ton of them were excited that we have this capability. And it wouldn't feel right if I just gave up and I didn't pursue them as I'd been told that I should.
And that's a good indicator of a pastor's heart. The role's done. He continues. And that's what a pastor is supposed to do. So, you know, I great indicator. I was encouraged. And he saw the fruit of that and the benefit of that. People he's still in touch with, you know, a few years later now. And so we don't have a lot of time, so we're going to skip through this. But he ended up spending, how long in Walkabout?
Walkabout was 9 months. And that was just before the first time that I had served as service team leader.
So 9 months. And basically it's a program you go out there and you're learning to really seek the Lord. I mean, you're spending a lot of time in tents and outside of tents, I guess, and you're doing all sorts of things outdoors, but you're learning to pursue the Lord and you go through a program. So that was huge. And you say that was there, that you really learned to pursue and seek after him. And we should have that. We should have a time when we say, that's when I learned to pursue him. And maybe multiple times it's like, I learned to pursue him, but then in this way, I learned to pursue him. And so now we'll fast forward a little bit more, but let's remember where he came from too. Where did we start when he didn't know any of this that was going to happen? All he knew was that he was angry at God, he was angry at life. That's where he was. He had a lot of questions, and God was not answering as far as he was concerned. The one thing he had prayed for fell apart. That's where he started, and we're seeing how God's working in his life. And so one of the things that he's involved with now is Inside Out. It's that big old cool sign that our students made. It's really great, our student ministry. you are involved and you lead in there. So why? Tell me some of the reasons why you do that.
It's something that I wanted whenever I was a student in the church, and it's just probably something that we weren't ready for. We're growing as a church constantly, and it's like you said before, I want to be something that, or I want to be someone who can build on that, someone who can be a part of the solution, someone who can contribute to that. And it's an environment that I'm able to provide. It's experience for me to be able to say that I'm working towards what I want to be. Like, I want to be a pastor, and it's a great opportunity for me to be able to pour into more students every week.
So learning how to pour into people on a consistent basis over time. And so, you know, and so we have had student, we've had people help with our students that have helped lead and serve. They did a wonderful job setting a table and, you know, for a lot of things. And then, you know, Vince is a director. And so Lester has really stepped up in a role of leadership. And that's one of the things, when you choose people, when you pick people to lead, you look for the people that are already doing it. And he's one of those. Lainey's another one. We talked to her last week. And so, you know, helping, and he's really good. He wants to make sure, yes, that they grow, but also that they have fun. You know, that they have fun and that they connect and all those type of things that he wanted, and now he is wanting to. He mentioned giving back, but even more than that, it's what he's called to do. And so one of the things that is news to most of you, which is pretty exciting, is that Lester, as of very recently, is now our very first intern. And so that's pretty cool. And what that is that when someone wants to be a pastor, again, you give them some time and you wait and you kind of see what happens for, but then a great next step is to give them the opportunity to kind of walk alongside you in a lot of ways and say, all right, well, this is what being a pastor is, because it's beyond, you know, he has a desire to speak and he's already getting opportunities to do that with our students. But it's beyond this stuff. There's a lot of other stuff going on. Like this week, I guarantee you there was a lot of stuff going on besides, you know, praying. Or I don't know what y'all think that I do. There's a lot going on. And so to kind of get a behind the scenes and do it, on-the-job training is always the best anyway, right? I mean, it's great to talk about stuff. You know, we talk all day. But this is on-the-job training. So I don't know if you want to say anything to say about that or if I've said most of it.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, I'm just excited to take another step forward, because I'll be soon transferring to an actual Bible college to kind of take the next step in schooling.
Yeah, so he's going to school locally, and he wants to be going to a Bible college, and so we're going to be doing this and giving him opportunities, and so he's going to be someone you can come to. He's someone that's going to pray, and we have a prayer team and all that, but he is stepping into the role, and our ministry is people. And so we might be planning a sermon, but our ministry is people. And so this is one of the big things to learn, and it's a hard thing to learn, to really grip it and understand it. And that's the thing, doing it. We can know it in our head, but until you're doing it, that's how we learn it. And so I'm excited about that. So, we have just a little bit of time, but just briefly, you wanted to say, you didn't want to just talk about this brief, a bunch of good stuff, but you wanted to talk about some hard stuff, because that's real life, is what you had said. So let's talk about some of the difficulties that you've had to face. Camp went great. He worked out there for a time. He came back and he had a plan of some things out in Fort Worth. Didn't work, and there was a lot of struggles that went with it. And so you had that, but there's also some other struggles. Talk about your dad a little bit, you know, over time.
Yeah, so I spent 2 summers out in Glorieta as service team leader, and during my second summer there, my dad had a very big health scare. I get a phone call from my stepmom saying that he has gone into a coma and that I need to try and come and see him, and I'm 644 miles from home. I'm not quite sure what to do, and so I called Ray up and asked for prayer, and then the very next morning, I jumped in my truck and booked it down here and stayed a couple of days. And then as I'm actually leaving to go back to Glorieta, I get a phone call and he's back and awake. And so it was very nice to be there for him and try my best to be able to be supportive and not lose out on an experience like that.
Right. And that's one of the things that I encourage him. And some of you know this, but someone who is young may not, but these are the type of things you don't regret later when you show up. You do regret when you don't show up. And so that's, again, it's been a huge thing. And, you know, and so, I mean, you've dealt with, yes, anger, but there's even been elements of sadness and depression and things like that you've had to work through. And one of the things that he mentioned a while back that he took to his students, and so I'll just kind of cover this real quickly. We can't put the slide up, but I think it's still off. But there's a verse, it's in Proverbs 3, talks about, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And what stood out to him, because that verse is so, it's on coffee cups, it's everywhere. It's a great verse, right? All the other verses in chapter 3 of Proverbs were like, hey, always get in the limelight, because it's always 5 and 6. A lot of great stuff around it. But for him, what we did, though, is we put up two pictures, and we think, there's two pictures. One of them, it's a well-lit road. And when you see a painting, you'll see Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's what it is, a well-lit road. Follow the well-lit road. The other one is a dark forest that's scary. That's the actual picture. And that made a mark on him, and he even took it to his students. And that's true, because with what he's had to walk through, it's been a lot of dark times, just like a lot of us have had, and that's when we have to walk in him. It's not like, well, I'm going to follow the Lord, and all of a sudden, the path. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. It's going to work out. It's like, no, follow me. I can't see where to go. Follow me. But I hear stuff and all that, and I don't know what. Follow me. And that made a mark. And so remembering where we started, angry questions and all that, it's kind of come full circle in a lot of ways. Talk about that.
Yeah, now, my grandfather passed away, and that's kind of what caused all the anger and all the questions and stuff like that. And my dad is now and not in great health. And now I don't necessarily have questions. I am at as much peace as I possibly can be with the Lord through this situation. And I realized this a couple of years ago that the Lord answered my prayer about making me the glue to my family. He just didn't make it to that family. With my family now, with mom, brother, sister, dad, grandparents, whoever, they're somebody that can connect with me. They are somebody that can come and talk to me. I hope, want to come and talk to me because they like to do it. But it's an answer to my prayer. It's just not in the timing that I thought it would be in.
It's great. And so you had some good stuff happen over the last month with your dad as well.
Yeah, my father has recently come to know the Lord. Ray and I had gone over and visited him, and Ray talked to my father, and he had wanted to come back to the Lord and give his life to him. And then about a week later, I went down there, and he was baptized. And so my father's taken quite a few steps of his own in these past couple of months, just of struggling with his own anger and confusion and all those different things, and now is hopefully resting assured that the Lord is there.
And that day was one I won't forget. And so some of the things we could go on with, but we don't have time. He could go on about the value of being in relationship community group that he's part of. That's huge. But another thing, if you would just say briefly, the value of you've been around like 7-8 years now. I mean, something like that. So what's been the value of being part of a community over that period of time?
I get to live life with the church. I think that's kind of the most important thing is a lot of people spend a Sunday with a church and then they say, okay, that's not for me. That church isn't for me. And that's not fair to the people that are the church because we're not a building. We are a group and community that live with each other, that love each other and want to experience different things. I think about Gabe Jr. and I mean, knowing him from nothing to where he is now, it's confusing. Like it blows my mind.
I knew you when you were nothing.
Like it's a weird experience because I didn't really think it'd be this early on that I kind of think of like, man, I remember you were this big kind of thing. Because I still get that to a lot of people. A lot of people do that to me when, like, I remember you when, like, had that much beard.
That's good. He talked about it. When that happened with his dad, he calls. I call. And all of a sudden, he has a bunch of people praying for him and his dad and family. And so, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff has happened. And Here's the thing. All that, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. A lot that we've talked about, it's available to you. And again, when I say you, I'm talking to myself. It's available to you. We need to trust and we need to follow him. Because here's the thing. Imagine if when his friend invited him, Lester said no. Want to go to camp? What if that wasn't made possible? What if along the way, service team, I heard about that, but who does that? Give up my summer? What if he said no? What if someone gave him the opportunity to lead and his whole life people say, you can't lead, and he agreed with them rather than agreeing with the person saying, we want you to lead? I mean, here's what's for you and me, for you and me. You have no idea what's at stake. You have no idea what's at stake as to whether or not you follow him. When we look at Peter, Peter had no idea what's at stake. I mean, when he says, hey, come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. He couldn't fast forward and see, hey, one day they're going to have this whole basilica thing built about with your name on it. People will be named after you. I mean, Peter would be like, well, what's a basilica, first of all? Why are you doing that? But because it's, about the Lord and all that. But same thing with, like, Lester. He doesn't know. So for him, it's like, wow, imagine if I had not. Imagine if I, and once we have that track record with God, it's like, imagine what he has next. And so I'm going to kind of take out a lot of the stuff I was going to say and just wrap up with this. And it would be said better if our screens were working. And this is the only weekend it's not been working ever, so it's kind of interesting when we need it. But and so I don't remember exactly how it said, but what you and I want to be, we want to say, okay, Lord, I want to be, let me see how I had this. I want to be someone who asked the question, wow, Lord, imagine if I had not. Later, that's what we want to ask. Imagine if I hadn't. We want to be that rather than, Lord, I wonder what would have happened if I had followed you. And so you have an opportunity. We all do. And he is emphatic and passionate about the church and growing as the church. And this is what we are to be with one another. And we've seen it in his life. You become part of the church in a growing way about people, then you're going to see the same thing no matter where you are. The best place to be for you and me is following him. And when we do, it's going to be into an area that we're going to have a whole lot of questions. We might have anger and all that. But the Lord is going to work in ways so specific to us. It can't be written off as chance. It can't be written off by anything else. And our confidence will be built in him. Whether there's a virus going around, there's difficulty happening in our lives, or in our circumstances. All right, let's pray. My Lord and God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for how you've worked in Lester's life. Thank you that it is flowing through him rather than stopping with him. You are a mighty and incredible God that will work good in the lives of those who love him. This is the stuff that brings a lot of questions and confusion. And thank you, Lord, that you will bring to us an understanding, whatever understanding you want us to have, if we seek and follow you. And so I pray for our church. I pray for our church that we might be a place as if it really were a place. We might be a people, really, that when new people come in, maybe people hearing my voice for the first time that are online or people here, we are a place in a growing way that is the church. We are in a growing way, an environment where people can come in and actually understand what it means to grow in relationship with the Lord. Lord, this is in your hands. We can't do it. We can't manufacture it. We can't be smart enough, clever enough, work hard enough. While we seek to serve and we seek to work and we seek to plan and all those things, ultimately it comes from your hand. So I'm asking you for your favor. I'm asking you that you do a work in us, that you might build us up in a healthy way. You grow us in a healthy way, grow the people within our church, and then add people to our church that really, really need a church to call home. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My man Lester. All right, thank you, Lester. I appreciate you, man. Really quickly, you can just stay up here if you want. We'll wrap this up. As always, thank you for being here. We have great things that are coming up. And so as the story, we usually have the slide that kind of the four things to be part of the story, connect. The relational aspect is huge. Inviting people to come in relationship, to people that, we have a lot of people that want nothing to do with the church before, people that grew up in church. So we have every type of experience, you know. And so people are welcome. And so connect, invite people. Because a lot of people that if they would have been here would be encouraged by what we talked about, what we heard in Lester's story. Give. We give as those who've been given so much. We don't pass the plate. We have, you know, the Lord has poured so much into us, and he calls us to be faithful, to pour into him. And so we do that online, you know, people that are here, let's remember to do that. And then what's the other one? Connect, serve. We have opportunities to serve. And as we see, I mean, you can tell by his story that he does that because we're to be servants. He's growing to be a servant leader. We're to serve one another in love. And so we serve, and there's plenty of opportunities. And so quickly coming up, we have a women's event, Painting with a Twist. All right, and so you can talk to Jason about that. That is March 29th from 2 to 4, and it's just going to be fun. We want to be a church. I've said this before. We do the things that most people say, you know, we should do stuff like that more often. And then we should actually do those things. This is one of those things, a women's event. Let's do that. And then also, updates about the coronavirus and all that, we'll be letting you all know. And then we also will be letting you know about that opportunity to serve others during this time, because the church, we're to be among the people that go in. We don't flee, we go in and we help to serve our community. All right, so I think that's it, all right? I'm glad you were here, whoever's online. Again, I'm sure numbering in the millions. I'm glad that you were here. We gather as the church. Let's go be the church.